Ekatra Podcast Conversations for the Curious Essential Knowledge, Simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of Ekatra AI. Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today, we are taking a really close look at some pretty challenging, but I think essential, cultural criticism. We're diving into David Foster Wallace's collection, Consider the Lobster, and other essays. Yeah, this is definitely not just, you know, a bunch of magazine pieces thrown together. Wallace used these assignments, these journalistic opportunities, as a kind of tool, really.
Tool for what, exactly?
Well, a way to force us, force you, the listener, to look closely at things we often choose to ignore. So our mission today is sort of to pull out the core insights he offers about becoming more consciously aware.
And about confronting some pretty uncomfortable truths about modern life, right?
Absolutely. Uncomfortable moral truths. He's really throwing down a challenge. So the big question he keeps circling back to in these essays is, well, how do we live genuinely? How can we be ethical in a culture that just feels saturated with superficial stuff, media noise, and I guess what he saw as moral complacency?
Exactly. It's all about questioning your default settings. That phrase is key. He's saying that real understanding means getting outside your own comfortable bubble.
Your own head, basically.
Right. Confronting those automatic, unexamined ideas you have about, well, everything. From your dinner to your politicians.
Okay, so let's unpack the person behind this. David Foster Wallace, 1962 to 2008. His background is really important here, isn't it?
Oh, definitely. Academically, he was kind of unique. Degrees in both English and philosophy from Amherst, then an MFA.
So he had the philosopher's toolkit.
Yeah.
Logic, critical analysis.
Exactly, those analytical tools. But he combined that with the skill, the heart of just a brilliant storyteller, a master of language.
And that mix is what makes the writing so distinct.
Totally singular. He could apply this intense intellectual rigor to, you know, dissecting cultural issues, but the writing itself feels incredibly human, very felt.
Yeah, you feel his presence. He wasn't just observing from afar, was he?
No, he deliberately put himself in these situations, reported from the inside, and then stepped back to analyze with that critical distance.
And we should probably mention that distance wasn't always easy for him personally. His own struggles, which were pretty well known, they gave him this really raw insight, didn't they, into that gap between how people appear on the surface,
yeah,
you know, composed, functional.
It's a public face.
And the complicated reality going on inside.
Yes, absolutely. And his genius was making that internal messiness understandable, relatable even. He knew how incredibly hard it is to be truly present, truly empathetic.
And that struggle fuels the moral urgency you feel throughout the book.
It really does. That awareness is the engine.
Okay, so let's look at the book itself. Consider the Lobster. What's the central idea holding this collection together?
Well, fundamentally, it's an examination, a really unflinching one, of American culture around the turn of the millennium, early 21st century. But it works on two levels.
How so?
It's cultural criticism, for sure, but it's also deep philosophical inquiry woven right into the reporting.
It's quite a journey he takes you on.
Yeah.
Look at these seemingly ordinary or sometimes kind of weird settings.
Totally. A lobster festival in Maine, a huge porn awards show in Vegas, a political campaign trail.
Mundane stuff, extreme stuff.
Right. And he uses these as jumping off points to explore these massive questions. Human nature, suffering, what it even means to be authentic. He's like an anthropologist and a moral philosopher rolled into one journalist.
So the range is pretty vast. You get media critique, ethical philosophy,
literary analysis, social commentary. But the common thread, the thing connecting it all, is this demand he makes on the reader.
Which is?
Move beyond just passively consuming. He wants active, conscious engagement. He doesn't just want you to read. He wants you to wrestle with the ideas, the uncomfortable bits.
Yeah, he really makes you work.
He shows that the real difficulty is just in the act of paying attention. His whole method is taking something specific, like covering an event.
Like the Lobster Festival.
Exactly. And then digging into it with such intensity that it reveals all the messy, confusing, morally complicated stuff simmering just beneath the surface of American life.
Okay, let's dive into some specific essays. This is where it gets really fascinating. The title essay, Consider the Lobster. He's covering the Maine Lobster Festival. Starts off pretty straightforward, right?
Yeah, almost charming. Descriptions of the fair, the atmosphere, the food. Typical festival reporting.
But then it turns.
Oh, it turns hard. Suddenly it shifts from this light piece into serious ethical philosophy. He asks this incredibly direct, almost naive sounding question. Can lobsters feel pain?
Which seems simple, but the implications aren't.
Not at all. Because if they can, he asks, what's our moral responsibility when we're boiling them alive right there in front of everyone just for pleasure, for a tasty meal?
It's such a perfect example of his method, isn't it? Using something totally routine like dinner to expose this huge, uncomfortable moral blind spot. He makes you see the reality behind your consumption. Suddenly, eating lobster isn't so simple anymore.
It's jarring, the way he forces that ethical visibility. And that connects actually to another major piece, authority and American usage.
Right, the one where he reviews Brian Garner's Big Dictionary of Grammar, which, again, might sound dry.
You might think, uh-oh, grammar lecture, but it's not about that.
No, it's about something deeper. Politics, ethics.
Exactly. Wallace argues that the whole debate about correct English isn't just technical. It's tied up with class, power, cultural authority. Who gets to decide the rules?
It's not about being a grammar snob then.
Not for him.
Yeah.
He argues that language standards at their best are like a social contract. Using language clearly, trying to be understood, that's a form of respect for your audience.
So good communication is essential for democracy.
That's his point. It allows for real conversation. If you write badly or if you're overly rigid about obscure rules, you're actually failing a kind of civic duty to connect clearly and humbly. It's about respect and connection.
That's fascinating. So we've gone from the ethics of eating to the ethics of speaking and writing. Where does he go next? Las Vegas.
Yeah, Vegas for Big Red Sun. He covers the Adult Video News Awards, the AVNs. Sounds purely sensational, maybe?
But it's Wallace, so it's probably not just about the shock value.
Right. His insight here connects back to that whole internal-external gap we talked about. He finds this huge disconnect.
Between what?
Between the fantasy, the porn industry sells, you know, limitless pleasure, perfect connection, and the actual reality of the business, which is often mundane, awkward, heavily corporatized.
How sad.
Deeply sad, yeah. It becomes this meditation on how intimacy gets commodified, turned into a product. The sadness of purely mechanical human connection. He's looking for real human feeling in this extreme place and mostly finds performance.
It's just a simulation of connection.
Yeah.
Okay. And then there's the political piece, Up Simba, his time on the road with John McCain's 2000 campaign.
Yeah, the Straight Talk Express. This essay is huge for anyone thinking about media literacy today. Wallace basically dissects the whole performance art of a modern political campaign.
He looks at McCain's persona, right? The authentic maverick.
Exactly. And he questions whether any genuine leadership, any real vulnerability or nuance can even survive the kind of machinery involved in modern campaigning.
Does he offer any answers?
He raises this really important distinction between two qualities we often mix up. Sincerity and trustworthiness.
Okay, what's the difference for him?
Well, we often want leaders who seem sincere, who feel authentic, but sincerity can be faked pretty easily. It's often just a performance of authenticity. Wallace suggests we should focus more on trustworthiness.
What it means?
Which means judging whether a leader can actually persuade us, the public, to make sacrifices now for some future collective good. That takes real courage, both from the leader and from us, the voters, to trust them.
Wow. Okay, so if we tie these threads together, the lobsters, the grammar, the porn awards, the campaign trail.
Yeah.
What are the big recurring themes Wallace is hitting on?
There are a few core ones that really define what it means to live consciously, especially now.
What's the first big one?
I'd say conscious awareness versus default settings. He hammers this home again and again. Real human flourishing, actually living well, means getting beyond our automatic knee-jerk responses.
So apathy, just not caring or not thinking too hard. That's actually a problem for him.
A huge problem. For Wallace, apathy isn't just a mood, it's an ethical failure. Because you're actively choosing not to see the moral weight of your actions or your inaction.
That's pretty challenging.
It is. And you can ask yourself, right, when do you choose not to think too deeply about where your stuff comes from or the real cost of your convenience? Those unexamined choices, those are the default settings he wants us to challenge.
Okay, what's another key theme?
The problem of solipsism and the quest for empathy. Solipsism is basically the idea, or maybe the feeling, that your own mind is the only thing that's truly real.
Like being trapped in your own head.
Exactly. Wallace sees this self-centeredness as the fundamental human trap. He calls it the skull-sized kingdom of our own thoughts. And the whole collection, really, is this massive effort to break out of that kingdom.
How does he try to do that?
Through empathy. His incredibly detailed reporting, trying to really understand these different worlds and people. Mm-hmm. It's an act of radical empathy. an attempt to imagine his way into the consciousness of others, to fight off that intense loneliness that comes from being stuck in yourself.
And at the third theme.
Definitely the ethics of attention and consumption. It runs through everything. The essays constantly ask, what really deserves our limited time and attention? And how are we consuming things? Culture, news, food, politicians?
Or are we doing it mindlessly?
That's the question. Are we consuming without really considering the consequences, the hidden costs, the human or moral price involved?
And he suggests the systems we live in make it easy not to look.
Precisely. Big systems, food distribution, political media, social media, they're often designed to make it comfortable to look away, to not ask hard questions. So Wallace says our moral work is to make ourselves look, to refuse to look away.
He certainly had a way with words.
Mm-hmm.
Some of his lines just stick with you, don't they? They kind of encapsulate these big ideas.
Absolutely. So. He had this incredible gift for hitting on complex thoughts with these really potent, memorable phrases.
Like the one about freedom from his famous commencement speech.
Right.
It wasn't in this collection, but it captures the spirit.
Right. The really important kind of freedom involves attention and awareness and discipline and effort. He goes on about truly caring for others.
And being able truly to care about other people and to sacrifice for them over and over in myriad petty little unsexy ways every day.
Exactly. That gets to the heart of it. Real freedom isn't just doing whatever you want. It's this hard, constant, daily work of choosing to pay attention and care. It's unglamorous effort.
It's exhausting just thinking about it.
It is. And he also nailed the core human challenge, that solipsism trap. Everything in my own immediate experience supports my deep belief that I am the absolute center of the universe.
The realest, most vivid, and important person in existence.
Yeah. Recognizing that deep-seated, totally natural self-centeredness, that's the crucial first step. You have to see it before you can even try to overcome it with empathy.
And what about his take on irony, that detached, cynical coolness?
Ah, yes. His famous critique. What passes for hip, cynical transcendence of sentiment is really some kind of fear of being really human.
Wow. So he's saying that being overly ironic or cynical is actually a defense mechanism, a way to avoid feeling.
Pretty much. It's a call to actually engage with life seriously, with real feeling, even if it makes you vulnerable, even if it's not considered cool. It's a rejection of apathy disguised as sophistication.
Okay, so this is all fascinating, but how do we, you know, use this? How can listeners apply these ideas in their own lives?
Well, there are some really practical takeaways, I think, especially around media and just ethical choices.
Yeah,
take the lessons from Up Simba about political campaigns and apply them to how you consume media today. When you see a news story or a social media post,
don't just swallow it whole.
Right. Ask yourself, who benefits from this particular story being told this way? What assumptions is it reinforcing? Whose voices or perspectives are being left out? That's basic critical media literacy, Wallace style.
And the lobster essay. How does that apply beyond, well, lobster?
You can use that basic framework for almost any uncomfortable ethical choice. Think about, say, fast fashion, when you buy a super cheap shirt.
Apply the Wallace method.
Yeah. Ask, who might be suffering somewhere down the line so this can be so cheap? What are the hidden environmental costs? What am I choosing not to see when I make this purchase? It's about forcing yourself to consider the impact on others, even when it's uncomfortable.
And what about communication, based on the grammar essay?
Well, on a more personal level, you can try to be more conscious of your own communication habits. Are you just relying on automatic scripts in conversation, or are you really trying to connect?
Like, really listening and speaking clearly, respectfully.
Exactly. As he argues, that effort to communicate well, to really hear and be heard, it's not just polite. It's a kind of civic and personal responsibility. It's how we build connection.
It really feels like this collection is so much more than just essays. It's almost like a handbook for navigating modern life ethically.
I think that's a great way to put it. What really stands out to me, the unique value here, is how he managed to blend this incredible intellectual power, the philosophy, the sharp analysis.
Yeah, he was brilliant.
With this incredibly raw, vulnerable, and deeply compassionate humanity. You feel his struggle, his empathy. The big lesson, I think, is that thinking, really thinking, is hard. It's active work. It's essential moral work. And it takes effort.
Constant effort, it sounds like. But there's hope in that, too.
Definitely. The book ultimately suggests that, yes, you can maintain some authentic consciousness, some meaning, even inside this crazy, overwhelming mass culture. But
there's always a but with Wallace.
Right. But it requires constant vigilance. You have to be willing to resist the easy answers, the comfortable numbness that modern life offers up constantly. It's a call to stay awake.
A call to consciousness. Maybe the final thought for you, the listener, is, if David Foster Wallace were looking over your shoulder today, what specific default settings in your media habits, your consumption, your conversations might he gently, or maybe not so gently, point out? That's something to chew on.
Definitely something to chew on.
See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Ekatra Foundation.